All right, we are going to be welcoming our first speaker, who's Monica Hardy, who's from East Foothill Church of Christ, which is a church nearby here in San Jose, and we have a little bio for her. So Monica was born and raised in San Jose and grew up on Mount Hamilton Road, where her family had many different types of farm animals and dogs. She describes her childhood as being a little bit city and mostly country. She was raised in the Church of Christ and became a member at the 8th Street Church of Christ in San Jose when she was a teenager. Monica is a member of the East Foothill Church of Christ on White Road in San Jose. She is married with two adult daughters who now live in Los Angeles, California. Monica works as a solutions architect for Lumen and has worked in the IT field for her entire career. A fun fact about Monica is that she has been writing poetry on and off for years, and who knows, maybe you will get to hear one of her poems today. So with that, we will welcome up Miss Monica Hardy.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just wanted to give a shout out and a thank you to all of you for getting up this morning and coming out to this lectureship. And thank you to the Central Church of Christ for hosting us this year. Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for my cheering section over here. This is my cousin Tahara, so. All right, so the theme this morning was, or this year, I'm sorry, out of the darkness into the light, serving one another. And I put a little spin on it. So I said, we need to serve with a heart like Jesus. And to get ready for that, here's what we're going to do. Serve with a heart like Jesus. Okay. All right. So I have three main points that I want to go over. The first one is, what is our service? The second one is, how do we serve? And the third one is ideas about serving. A servant's heart, pandemic pivots activity, and some creative ways to serve. So point one, what is our service? Our service is love. We should love one another. 1 John 4:7-14 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So this is why we serve. We serve out of love. Another good scripture reference for this is 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. I'm not going to read this one. I'm not going to read everyone just for the sake of time, but I have included it so that you can write it down or take a note. So our Christ-like service grows out of genuine love for the Savior and of love and concern for those whom he gives us opportunities and directions to help. So stop worrying about how we look or what others think of us and start recognizing what God thinks of us. Yeah. Our freedom is for serving. We are servants of each other. Galatians 5:13 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So use your freedom in Christ for serving. Our actions are nothing without love. Use the same zeal in serving others that you would use for yourself. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was raised in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Has someone ever done something for you, but you could tell that they didn't want to do it. Like an example, your kids, you ask Sally, hey, Sally, can you go get me my shirt from the garage? She's like, oh, Mom, I don't want to do that. You know, and she grumbles all the way to the garage, right? And she gets it, right? But it still doesn't feel the same as if she would have just went to go get it, right? So, or have you ever caught yourself grumbling, right? Surrender yourself. Serving one another is how we love one another. Galatians 5:14 says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We serve because our love for God and our love for others, just like Jesus did. If we're motivated by looking good or appearing religious, we're not serving anyone but ourselves. To serve well and to serve like Jesus served, our actions must be motivated by love. To be a servant means serving him and serving others. All Christians should be servants. All Christians should be available to serve. And this point hits home with me. We have to make it a priority and don't let anything else interfere with our service. Don't let our jobs interfere. We should empty ourselves to the need of, to the needs of others because love gives. Love sacrifices. Love serves. Love forfeits and love yields. And often the most effective communication of the gospel is the word of your deeds. We should also love our neighbor as yourself. Selfish thinking destroys love. So stop thinking about yourself. The most fulfilled person is a person who serves others. Look outside of yourself. By reaching out and looking out to others and serving them, our own problems are forgotten. What does it mean to be a servant of God? Yes, service is a gift, but we can all do something. Every Christian is called to be a servant. Matthew 23:11-12 reads, "The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And Mark 9:35 reads, "And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all, and servant of all.'" Have you ever had a humbling experience because you exalted yourself? Or the opposite, have you ever been exalted because you humbled yourself? And I have an example of that one. I was at work and we were going to a customer meeting. So three of us were going, my coworker was driving. When he pulled up, I just started climbing into the back seat, right? And he turns around and says, "Monica, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm getting in the car, you know, what are you talking about?" And he goes, "No, you sit in the front." So I was like, okay. And so that was an example of, you know, me just saying, oh, I'll just sit in the back, you know, let the guys have the front seat. And he's like, no, you sit in the front. So I am also constantly amazed how people will exalt themselves over you. So one example is you're in the grocery store line, you're in line at Target, and the cashier comes and says, "I'll take the next customer on register 5, right? And so you're next. But the person behind you kind of looks at you, looks you up and down and says, I'm going, right? So they've just exalted themselves over you, right? Or like when you're interviewing for a job, you have 20 years of experience and they want to say, wait a minute, you did this in 1999. Do you still know how to do it? You know, but everything seems to try to humble you, but you humble yourselves. Others don't need to humble you. I think that we can still be humble and yet defend ourselves because we are enough. And I humble myself, but that doesn't mean that I should let others beat me down. I'll do it myself, right? Okay, we also serve him to be complete in Christ. Colossians 1:28 says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." And also, Colossians 4:7-18. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul is giving his insights into service, competence, and compassion of all the believers that he's working with. So if Paul was writing about you, what would he write? Would he be able to talk about your good deeds and the service that you're doing? It's personal accountability. We have to stay focused. We have to stay actively engaged in the Lord's work. Whatever God has blessed you with, he wants you to use it for his glory. You don't want it to be Colossians 4:17 when Paul says, "And to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." He had to be reminded. I don't want my name like that to be reminded. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servants be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Greatness comes in service. Become a servant. Matthew 20:27-28 reads, and whoever should be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So my sisters, I submit to you, to love is to serve. So how do we serve? This is point number two. We serve like Jesus. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. We solve problems and we serve people. We reach out and we talk to people. You don't have to be great to serve. You start where you are. Oftentimes we think, we can't do it. It's out of our comfort zone. How do we know if we have the gift of service if we never try? Maybe somebody is better at it than us, but we can do something. Start small and grow. Push yourself. I'm a natural introvert. I have to force myself to talk to people. I worked at University of Pacific, and my office was upstairs on the second floor. So if I needed to go to the kitchen, it was on the other end of the building, I would come down the steps and head straight out the door and walk all the way around the building on the outside of the building to get to the kitchen or to the restroom because I didn't want to talk to nobody, right? So I'm like, Monica, this is really stupid. Like, what is wrong with you, right? So then I said, fine. So I just forced myself. I'd come down the steps. I'd go internally in the building. And everyone that I came across on my little trek, I would speak to them, you know. And then as you do it, it gets easier, right? It's just practice. So we have to do it until we become it. There's no excuses. Practice makes perfect. You grow and you get better at anything. And I used to use the excuse of, well, every homeless person who asks me for money, I say, no, I won't give you money, but I'll buy you food, right? And then soon I'm like, Monica, you can't afford this. Like, what are you doing, right? So then I kind of stopped and I'm like, I don't have to stop, right? I just have to adapt. I have to adjust with what I'm doing that fits my budget, right? So instead, maybe I give them a bottle of water, and a granola bar, right? It doesn't have to be a full course meal, but it's something and I'm still doing something, right? Are we still using the excuse of being a babe when we should be mature in the word? If you have a problem doing this, then just imagine yourself before the judgment seat of Christ and him asking, how did you serve? Do you think he wants to hear your excuses after his ultimate sacrifice and example? Lord, I didn't serve because I didn't know how. I didn't know what to do. I didn't. Nonsense. You start where you are and you adapt and you use what you have. Think about the woman who gave the penny. She gave all she had. Or think about Moses. He was scared when he first started, but look at what he accomplished. Our greatness is being others focused. I'm not talking about talking to people to see what they can do for you. That's a true story. But we talk to people to develop relationships and to see how we can help them. We should desire to be the first to love, the first to sacrifice, the first to help, and the first to serve. Where there is a need, we should work to fill it and not wait for others to do something. What's wrong with you doing it? Don't get jaded by people thwarting your efforts. People who are scheming for money, you know, to get drugs or alcohol instead of, you know, offering them food. And I have an example of that. I was in this drive-through line and this homeless guy asked me for some food and I'm like, hey, I mean, for some money. And I'm like, I won't give you money, but I'll buy you some food. So I go through the drive-through, I buy his food. And as I'm pulling out the parking lot, I look in my rearview mirror and he's walking over to the garbage can and putting the food in the garbage can, right? So I'm just like, that was my hard-earned money, you know? So we can't let people's, you know, hearts ruin what we do. Another example, I was at lunch with a couple of my coworkers and this lady, she's like, I'm hungry, can you buy me some food? So I said, okay, you know, and I told the waitress, hey, you know, I'm going to pay for her lunch. So about 5 minutes later, she comes over and say, hey, well, she's trying to buy alcohol with her lunch. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying for that. She can have some water and, you know, I'll pay for her food. So we have to remember that our hearts and our hands are clean. No matter what's people's motives are, right? That's above us. That's between them and God. So ladies, I submit to you that we should serve like the greatest king. Okay, point three, some ideas about serving. Be a part of people's lives. Be part of your church community and take part in bringing others to church. Acts 20 and 31, 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. God wants people to congregate with his people, the church. We should involve ourselves so that we are easily recognized as one of God's own. Develop deep bonds and you will develop brotherly affection. God does not want underground disciples. For example, the elders must know the flock if they are to shepherd the flock. The preachers are ineffective if they keep themselves isolated. Those who lead and serve are those we know and trust. We must be in the relationship business. And your do flows from your who. Your service should be characterized by humility. Jesus did not give up his position as Lord to be served, but to serve. John 13, 12 through 17. Jesus used his position to elevate those below him. Philippians 2. Love without conditions. Emulate your Lord in being a servant. This is what greatness looks like. A servant is not greater than his master. John 13 through 16. And that reads, or John chapter 13, verse 16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. So we should serve as though there is a bigger picture. Serve as though there's something greater than yourself. Matthew chapter 25. If you know and you do, then you will be blessed. If Jesus began by washing the feet, but he didn't stop there. He knew the need and he filled it. Amen? Amen. Okay. Serve where there is a need. If you look for a need, you'll find one. This is not easy because we're often self-centered and self-focused. We need to adapt every opportunity to serve others, to be like Paul, a servant to all that I might win more. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. This is not always easy, so you must dig deep. We should have a servant's heart. Be known by the way that you serve. Be open to service and prompting. So when I say prompting, I have another example of this. My kids were in high school and I had just dropped them off and I ran to the grocery store. And there was this teenage girl that came in and, you know, something just kept telling me, Monica, pay attention to her, pay attention, right? So she's taking all her coins and putting them in the coin machine, right? So I'm still looking at her. We're in the checkout line and I'm packing up my groceries and I'm like, Monica, stop. This is so dumb. What are you doing? You know, and so I start walking to the store and I go to my car or out of the store and I go to my car and I start loading my groceries. And the girl's in line with her ticket, right? So she gets her money. And, you know, something kept saying, Monica, help her, help her, help her. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is God telling me something. You know, maybe I need to heed this prompt. So I had $20 in my pocket and I just went to her and I said, cause her mom, of course, was parked right by my car. So that was another not coincidence. And I just pulled the $20 out and I said, God told me to give you this, you know? I didn't know what else to say, and she just got a big smile on her face and a feeling of relief, and she was just like, oh, thank you, thank you. So I don't know anything else. I just turned and walked away. But when I say be open to prompting, if the Holy Spirit is telling you something, don't ignore it. Okay, so we should, these are traits of a servant's heart. A servant's heart is always available. Are you available to serve? Don't be too busy. Say no to things that will stop you from being able to serve for the Lord. Be attentive to the needs of others and help others. Philippians 2:4, look each of you not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, like the shut-ins, or someone needs a ride, someone needs some encouragement. A servant's heart has no excuses. They try. You don't have to be great to serve. I'm going to keep repeating that. Do the best with what you have. A good example of this is our dear sister Judy Williamson, right? When she got sick with her scleroderma, she used to give good parties and she loved to entertain. And when she got sick and she wasn't able to do it, she didn't stop. What she did, she's like, Hey, Sister Monica, can you do this? Hey, Sister Kathy, can you do this? Hey, Sister Russell, you know, hey, Sister Bibbs, you know, hey, Constance. It was everybody she would go to, and her parties were still a great success because she adapted to what her current conditions were, but she still had the heart of serving. Okay, so we have to try. I don't care if you're scared or nervous. You just do it. It will get easier. You do it until you become it. Nobody could do it better than you. You develop your skills, you learn from doing, you learn from others, and you do what you can. A servant's heart doesn't brag about how they served or what they did, right? Be humble when you serve. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You're not doing it for recognition or attaboys from people. You work for the Lord and not for men. A servant's heart is always dependable. A servant's heart always does the work. A servant's heart helps someone who's hurting. They encourage others. They reach out to others. They pray for others. A servant's heart has reliable attendance because they need to build relationships and deep brotherly affection. A servant's heart sacrifices for others. And sometimes this may mean money, but just remember, money is a great servant, but a terrible master. And personal sacrifice is the most potent witness and greatest legacy that a person can live. And a servant's heart teaches. A servant's heart does every task with equal dedication, from the least to the greatest. So ladies, do you have the heart of a servant? Matthew 20, 26 through 28 reads, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay, so these next two slides, they're going to be handouts. These are just some ideas of some creative ways that you can serve during a pandemic or social distancing that you can just read later. And so we need to be creative in our service because the church is never closed. And our mission is not on hold. Our calling to love our neighbors has not changed. Only how we serve is evolving. So ladies, how will you adapt? So this is the last slide, and I just wanted to go over some kind of something that I thought about. But anyway, so the point to ponder is serving an action that reflects who we are called to be. A servant is not what we do, but who we are. When we serve others, we serve Jesus. A verse to live by for this is Galatians 5:13 through 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So ladies, the question remains, how will I serve? Will I bring a lunch like David brought his brothers before killing Goliath? Will I offer a ride like the owner who owned the donkey that Jesus rode on? Will I carry a towel like Jesus and wash the feet wash the dirty feet of the proud hearts? Our prayer should be, Lord, help me to see opportunities to serve and to do them. So ladies, repeat after me. I am a servant of the Most High God. When I serve others, I am serving Christ Jesus himself. Amen. All right. So I wanted, and the handouts are back there. Thank you very much, Kathy. Appreciate that. She's been such a great help because I know I was like, hey, Kathy, can you change this? Can you do this? So sorry about that. Okay, so, you know, you read or you listened to the bio, and I did write a poem just to close this out this morning. So I'm going to read it to you. It's called, I Will Serve Him Till That Day. Till the day when the Lord calls me to my heavenly home, I will serve him whether I am working with a group or I am all alone. whether it is an easy or a difficult task to bear. I will let others know that the Lord lives and he indeed does care. By performing little deeds and doing what I can, that's working for the Lord and not for man. My sisters, I will serve him till that day. I want to leave a legacy of service and praise. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Preach Christ through your actions to those who don't believe. I will do what is right just for right's sake. I will try to give all I am and not to only take. Till the day we stand in awe before the great throne. Till the day we love like Jesus in the same way that was shown. My sisters, I will serve him till that day, for I strive to be worthy of his love and grace. The heart of a servant is complete in Christ, he who himself was the greatest ultimate sacrifice. Humbly I will serve. No task is too small, for the last and the least will be before us all. Follow the master and have the same mindset that loving each other is the best gift yet. My sisters, I will serve him until that day closes in, for in serving the master, we will win. Always do good and be known for good deeds. Use your freedom to humbly serve all people's needs. So serve, my sisters, with every strength of your bones till the day when we all reach our great heavenly home. My sisters, I will serve him till that day. Serve with the heart like Jesus, because humility is God's way. Thank you. Thank you.